This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, where we're talking about that third space, the buffer between work and home, the place where you can kind of recover, take a deep breath, give yourself an imaginary massage before you go into the home and you leave all your work stuff at home, at work rather. So we're asking you, do you have a third space? Is it a real physical space? Or is it, you know, somewhere where you just take a few moments to gather your thoughts? Chris, what have we got?
So on Twitter, we've got Eric who says, gym, sweat things out. Endorphins, people. Very nice. Very L words of you.
Michaela over on Insta Story says the same thing as well. Sometimes gym classes after work before heading home, but agreed on work affecting life at home.
All right. And this is on WhatsApp. This is from Maggie who says, oops, so my second screening is my third space. but it's okay, isn't it? If 90% of the time I am playing design home games.
To be fair, some of those games can be super relaxing. It's a really weird moment.
Yeah, but just turn off your TV while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Also, we've got a text here from Wendy who says, I find it seriously annoying when someone second screens their phones in the cinema while the movie is going on. The glow of the screen, further made brighter by the dark of the room, is truly distracting.
Frankly, I hate that too.
Sorry.
I feel you, Wendy.
Sorry, because I am absolutely 110% guilty of doing exactly that sometimes in a movie when I get really bored halfway.
You're normally the person that, if they sat in front of me, I'll be throwing popcorn at.
I mean, you know? I look at it just to know how the movie ends so I can be like, okay, I know that this is going to be bad still, or like, okay, it's worth sticking it through to the end.
But doesn't that make the movie more unbearable, knowing how it ends?
No.
And then having to sit through the whole thing, knowing the ending?
The whole time I'm thinking, who's got that blinding light on in this dark?
Only for like 2 seconds, okay? Jeez Louise.
0187 889 8899 is the number on WhatsApp if you want to get in touch regarding the second space, or if you want to, third space, or if you want to talk to us about second screening, let us know. Moving on to story number three. Why are my happy employees quitting, Chris?
Yeah, genuinely though, sorry, Wendy. I do that. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect, okay? But speaking of not being perfect, you might think that your employees in your company are happy, but then what if suddenly one of them puts in their 2 weeks notice and you're just like, this came out from absolutely nowhere. You know, I think when we encounter disgruntled employees, we understand kind of how they've turned sour and how they might want to leave the company. But what if they seemed okay and then they suddenly put in their notice, right? So these are kind of six unexpected reasons as to why kind of happy employees quit. And it's so that you can better spot and preemptively act on these kind of headaches and heartaches if you can know these signs. So the first thing is that a better narrative appears. So for many of us, our job isn't just a job. It's a series of robust chapters in the story of our life. And too few leaders think about their employees' narrative. So what role is that job playing in their life? And how is it weaving into the overall fabric of who they are and the story they want to tell? When employees leave a job that they're reasonably happy at, something must have triggered a reevaluation. Maybe it's a personal crisis. Maybe they saw someone else leave the company and they felt that they needed to reevaluate. But whatever the reason, today's workforce is increasingly expecting more from their job than just a paycheck. And a good enough job is no longer good enough. So they want it to be a part of their legacy, a worthy and worthwhile part of the overall story they want to tell. And so you can unearth how their job is fitting into their overall life by, like, surprise, asking them. You know, you can conduct employee reviews and focus the reviews on the employee's fulfillment as well as their achievements at work as well. Number two is not just how they're recognized, but who else is. Obviously, a lack of recognition can be really devastating for someone. And beyond that, it's a good reminder to tailor how you recognize each person. So not everyone wants to stand up for applause at the monthly town hall, and you discover preferences by asking. But what's missing here is that employees get just as demotivated about who else is recognized and for what.
Especially if it's the same group of people over and over again, right?
Exactly. You have to have clear and consistent criteria for kind of how you recognize people and what sort of recognition they get. Number three, how we work is changing, but who I work for isn't. So the desire to work, you know, in terms of flexibility at work has become a rising trend basically over the years. And employees see examples of other companies enabling a flexible workplace and they get envious, maybe enough so to leave. If you're kind of stuck in your ways, they might not think that you can evolve as the times are evolving as well. And you can start to kind of move into that by managing by objective, not observation, and equip flexibility with productivity and collaboration tools and give your employees that breathing space. And speaking of breathing space, number four, changing career goals are met with unbending job definitions. Obviously, you know, you're kind of told, you know, about the importance of having clear job descriptions, but at the same time, role definitions are too rigid sometimes nowadays. You know, clear and uncompromising are two different things, and research shows that employees want to be able to reshape their work, to add new responsibilities and modify old ones to create work that's more meaningful to them. So think about starting with the employee and designing work to fit them versus the other way around. Number five, the speed of business doesn't match the impulse for impact. More than ever, employees want to have an impact right now. When they bring up an issue or when they bring up something that needs to be solved, they don't want to have to go through the whole process of the hierarchy and you know, maybe months down the line that issue gets like reflected on, right? The best thing you can do as a leader is to enable speed, even within a massive hierarchy, is to grant autonomy and trust as a default. So that's really interesting. And then number six is, work became a one-way contract. Even happy employees can quietly come to feel that the underlying tone at the company is, provide for us and prove yourself. Constantly. When it comes to personal learning and growth, it can feel more like you must help me grow and I might help you grow. So stagnation may not be the first thing that employees pinpoint as a source of quiet unrest, but this one-way relationship form of indentured servitude will eventually taint any employee outlook. So you have to ensure that your employees get opportunities to grow and feel cared for as a whole person.
Great suggestions.
Wow, but also heavy on the employer's side, right?
I don't think so.
I think if you're running a smaller company, you know, if it's a startup and all that, then it's fair. But then again, imagine if you're a civil servant, you know, number five is out the door to begin with.
Okay? Yeah.
And also, you know, work to be, I think it depends on how saturated your company is.
Yeah. I mean, it does. But also, I think this is not just for people who own the companies themselves. It could be for the, you know, the
managers, supervisors.
Yeah, you know, people who are in that space where they can influence the way that whoever's underneath them in the hierarchy is feeling and working, you know. I think
good
that
point.
A lot of these on a very basic level are just talk to them. Please talk to the people you work with and then just have that conversation and collaborate with them.
To go back to number four about the career goals and the unbending job definitions, I mean, that's interesting, but as we know now, the job definitions have become there's so many now.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just a producer. You're not just one thing anymore. You are a jack of all trades. You're expected to do 1,000 things at once. So that's an interesting look at things.
Yeah.
How, you know, and especially now when people are saying, I don't want to be called that. I want to be a rock and roll this. I want to be a rock and roll that. And
I think the job title isn't really the problem. It's more just what lies underneath the job definitions, right? You know, so let's say you're like a secretary, but then you also have to do like a bunch of other.
You're a PA as
well. Yeah, you know, you've got it. So it's more just about, okay, if these are going to be my changing responsibilities, let the job description reflect that.
Yeah, especially if somebody else is coming to apply for that job after you may have left.
But I don't think I've ever worked in a job where the job description accurately reflected what I did on a daily basis. You know,
I
things
think that's
just
the
grow,
idea.
Your roles just grow. And basically your contract should have room to reflect that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, that's where we are, folks. That was story number three. If you've missed any part of the show so far, remember very shortly you can download the podcast and listen back. It is available via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. We're also on Spotify. We've been asking you guys to feedback regarding the idea of a third space, that space in between your workplace and home that acts as a bit of a buffer. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. On Twitter, of course, and Instagram, it's at BFM Radio. Any new messages we want to address before we take a short break? No? Okay, let's take a short break. Music coming up. We've got Paul Simon with So Beautiful or So What, followed by Robert Palmer with Johnny and Mary. And then when we get back, final story of the day. You're probably making one of these seven mistakes in your everyday speech. And, you know, on average, people speak 16,000 words a day.
16,000?
Yeah, unless you're a radio host. I'm guessing it's triple. I'm guessing it's triple that.
Does that mean we make more than just one of these seven mistakes? Oh, gosh.
I'm guessing
we make
so.
All seven, I'm sure.
I'm guessing so. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.